Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome Michael Harrison. Michael Harrison is the editor and publisher of Talkers Magazine. But today, importantly, he is here to present a new production about animals. Animals whom Michael and I both adore and love and live among. And the question is, are we now going to transform our thinking about animals into a new understanding of how we're all in this together? Michael, congratulations, because what you have is a wonderful song and presentation and video talking about how animals are part of what we are. I've discovered this in the last year, and you've known about it for some years. So please, how did you come to understand that we live in an animal kingdom? We're not separate from it. Good evening to you, Michael.
Well, thank you very much, John, and it's an honor to be on your podcast. And thank you for your co-interest in this wonderful topic. It's great talking to you. Since I'm a kid, I've always had the feeling that animals are just another form of people and that we're just another form of animal. I've never seen animals as things or machines or, they have instinct, but they don't have souls and they don't have consciousness and sentience. I've always seen animals as being just different beings that we share the planet with. And as I've gotten older, I've been fascinated by everything from theology to quantum physics. I find that there's a connectedness to the universe and things about consciousness that we still don't even have a clue of understanding. So when I relate to animals, to me, it's a much bigger relationship. It's a relationship to the cosmic consciousness, what we all have in common, and the mysteries of the universe. So when you interact with your dog or your cat and you look into its eyes, that's kind of a portal into another area of this vast universe in which we are all connected, and may not even be that vast. It might be much smaller than we realize in terms of how big we are. So it's wonderful to be able to do that.
You have a presentation. I know you're real. It is a video. It is a audio, and you voice with your colleagues, I know you're real, I know you're real, I know you're real. What is the story you're telling as we look at these lovely images of cats and gorillas looking into our eyes? What are you thinking, Michael?
Well, the term I know you're real hit me a number of years ago in my dealing with animals. I said, gosh, this dog is real. These animals are real. They're not inanimate, inorganic objects. They're not machines. It comes down to, do they have souls? What's it like to be a cat? What's it like to be a dog? They have their reality, their awareness. So when I say, I know you're real, I'm saying, or even if I say it to you as a colleague in radio, John, I know you're real. It means that I respect the fact that you are another me, that we're all in our own universe seeing what we think is reality from our individual perspectives, and that is very real. It's so hard, John, to find words that reflect these type of abstract concepts, because even thoughts are words. This goes down deeper to that world beneath thoughts, beneath words, just this realness, this feeling. People meditate. That's a form of being at one with the universe. So I know you're real is a tribute to all the life on Earth and beyond that I'm recognizing is as real as my own thoughts and my own consciousness.
Nice philosophy, and you invited me in it when I watched your video. So amateur consumer is going to report to the voice of the video. What occurred to me as I was watching your video, Michael, I know you're real, I know you're real. We're spending billions of dollars, and all of our attention is on the search for life on Mars. That's going on right now. Perseverance, Curiosity, and the new Zhurong, the new Chinese probe. Life on Mars, that is said to be the golden ring we want to capture in the cavalcade. However, it occurred to me watching your video that we're looking for something that's all around us, and that we will be flabbergasted and joyous if we find evidence of prehistoric life, fossilized life on Mars, anything at all. But it's here already. So therefore, why don't we appreciate our life the way we are focusing all this attention on Martian life? Is the question that came to me as I watched your video.
That's because we are at the very, very early stages of the evolution of humanity. We are still in the primitive stages. Some people believe that we're the crown of creation and that we are the standard by which everything in the universe is measured. Even with the Fermi paradox, you know, how come we can't find aliens? And we're looking out there and we're looking for signs of technology because we assume that as life evolves, it becomes more technologically advanced. Maybe the reason we don't see any technology out there is maybe technology is not the crown of creation. Maybe we pass technology. Maybe there's a spiritual side to consciousness. Maybe consciousness is the foundation of reality and not the material world in which we manifest technology. So I think that when we look for life on Mars, we still see life on Earth and our own individual lives as being separate from the rest of the universe, that somehow we're strangers in a strange land, and the universe exists, and we are thrust into it, and we're outsiders. What we will learn if we ever do discover life on Mars, which is very possible, or find traces of microscopic, you know, bacterial life elsewhere, which then gives us the idea, okay, maybe there is a higher level of intelligence out there, we'll discover how similar it is to us, as well as how different, and that, wait a second, we're not living on Earth and Mars is a separate reality. All of these places that we see out there come from the same origins, same chemicals, the same forces are at work, and that we're part of a much larger community than we realize.
I know you had a youth, and this video is demonstration of your youth, because in making I Know You're Real, you've joined a rock band from the 1970s, Gun Hill Road. You are now a member of the – you're in a time machine, Michael. You were once a DJ playing Gun Hill Road. Now you're in Gun Hill Road. What is Gun Hill Road, and what does it tell us about the evolution of FM radio and of rock music?
I was in my youth, in my early 20s, one of the pioneers of FM underground album rock. And I was very, very instrumental in the evolution of it as a radio format. As a matter of fact, the first half of my career was album rock, and the second half of my career has been being involved as a pioneer and, you know, kind of helping the evolution of talk radio. Back circa 1970, 71, 72, I was one of the youngest DJs in the country. I did a morning show at a legendary station in New York, WNEW-FM, and we played album rock, and we talked about the issues of the day. It was very much integrated into the playing of the music. It was talking politics and culture. And one of my we played our own records. In other words, we all played basically the same genre of music, but we played our own selections. There wasn't a program for us. And I was a very big fan of a local New York-based group that had made two albums at that time called Gun Hill Road, basically contemporaries of mine, young guys from Westchester. They named themselves after a thoroughfare in the Bronx that's very famous, Gun Hill Road. It has nothing to do with guns or anything. And I played them on the radio almost every day and got to know them. And as I got to know many of the rock bands of that day and through the years. And but I was a champion of the group. You know, DJs in those days had local and unknown groups that they championed and played a lot and made hits out of. And that was my relationship with Gun Hill Road. They were a great little band. Glenn Leopold, Steve Goldrich, Paul Reich, and now the new incarnation are those three gentlemen, plus Brian Coonan and me, Michael Harrison. So it's a five-man band now. But it's an extraordinary experience, John, to talk about a time machine. This band that I used to play, you know, along with the Stones and the Bee Gees and the Allman Brothers, you know, and the Doobie Brothers on WNAW-FM in the early 70s, now they still exist. And I'm a member of the band, and my goodness, by the measurement of today's technology, we have a hit. We have a hit record. I know you're real. It's at this point in our conversation a minor hit, and it may go major because it's going viral on YouTube. So it's an experience that all I could say is, one, it's like, holy Toledo. I can't believe it's happening. And part of it, John, is just deeply gratifying. I find at this point in my life, And I hope the same with you. You know, we've all been around the block a lot. We've seen a lot of history, and we're in turbulent times. I like to live my life in gratitude. And I find being in gratitude makes it easier to get through life. And this is one of those things for which I am very grateful.
I know you're real. Convince me, Michael. A detail here about acquiring this. Just type in I Know You're Real and YouTube, and you'll go there. However, what happens next is, do we transform our thinking about our pets, our animals, the deer, the bear, the coyotes? I told Michael we have a coyote pack down here that I listen to every night with my dog. Do we transform ourselves? Does it happen naturally? You make a distinction that's important, and I did not understand it. What is the difference between animal welfare and animal rights, Michael?
Animal rights is more extreme. There's a spectrum of concern about animals, obviously. I mean, the reason most every religion, when practiced in its orthodoxy, begins each meal with a prayer. Basically, the commonality of it is, we thank you for this food and we honor the animals that have given their life to us. When you get very extreme with the concern about legislation and animals, you're getting more into the realm, these are categories, of animal rights. And a lot of people feel that animal rights is a little bit too much in your face. Animal rights have, you know, they're the ones that'll throw paint on you if you're wearing a fur, or they'll harass you if you go to Costco and come out with one of their rotisserie chickens. They're strictly vegan. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just that I'm not of that. I'm more in the animal welfare, which is, you know, societies for the prevention of cruelty to animals. It recognizes that there's an agriculture business and people eat chickens and people are going to continue to, you know, be carnivores. But at least do so in the most humane way possible, with the ultimate ideal being that we don't eat animals and that we honor them and that we live more philosophical, caring lives. But so the difference between animal welfare and animal rights is, animal rights is more political. Animal welfare is more philosophical and a little less stringent, a little less in your face, a little less judgmental.
Last detail. Without our dogs and cats and birds and fish around us, we don't get through the pandemic with mental health, Michael. They were the fallback. They were the final defense of our ability to get up every day. And I thank them collectively for helping us.
I couldn't agree more. And I only hope that as we come out of the pandemic, a lot of people who now are going back to their whatever the heck normal is, their normal lives, I hope that they remember that these animals that they brought into their world, a lot of people adopted pets during the pandemic, that they are real and that they should not think of them as disposable entities. I'd like to mention one thing real quick, John.
Sure.
If people want to make sure to see the right video, because YouTube can get confusing, let me say exactly how to. It's very hard to transfer addresses via audio. There's no place to click. But it's I Know You Are Real. com.
Spelled out. Spelled out. I know you are real dot com. Spelled out.
Correct.
And Michael Harrison, spelled out, put in talkers. You'll find Michael, and that'll direct you to I Know You Are Real as well. You will enjoy the video. You will enjoy the song. We will certainly enjoy the tour of Gun Hill Road, the upcoming tour, because I listened to you in the early 70s as well. That was what we did these days. We woke up and we turned on WNEW. That was our day.
That's music to my ears that you remember that.
And I remember Gun Hill Road probably because you played it every day. That's probably why I remember.
Fantastic.
And here you are back on the other side of the lights. You know, this is rock music from the lights in your eyes and you can't quite see the crowd. Michael Harrison, I'm John Batchelor. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, John.